Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of things going on, as the song says, and I am so humbled to have learned so much in this past several months about domestic violence awareness and intimate partner awareness. And I want to thank two of my colleagues, Ms. Wanda McKinley and Ms. Shondell Wilhite, for bringing this to the forefront for me and making me aware of all the domestic abuse that's going on in this country and worldwide. And every 20 minutes, someone, somewhere in this world, even more than that, 20 people physically, men, women, and children, let's not forget about the babies, are abused. And I can't tell you how many women have come to me. I can't speak for the men because they haven't told me, but I've heard women, woman after woman after woman, tell me they were abused by their natural fathers. And that just simply blew my mind. But these are stories. These women are so transparent that they're willing to come out of their closets, out of their shells, and say, this happened to me. And awareness is only the beginning. Domestic violence awareness is not once a year, it's every single day. It's not just celebrities and NFL players. It's your brother. It's your sister. It's your cousin. And many of them hide it so well, you would never know what goes on behind closed doors. So today, we have another powerful story from Miss Linnell. And I say Miss Linnell because in my mind, everyone's a miss. We've earned that right to be called Miss. Miss Linnell, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Janice. How are you?
I am wonderfully, and I love this song. I'm about to play a song that says that we are wonderfully made. We're different, as we're supposed to be, but we're wonderfully made. And the way I look at it is that the Lord did not place me here on this earth to be abused.
Yes, amen. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
So I want to make sure that we understand we all have gifts. And we thrive in those gifts. So this show is about domestic abuse, yes, domestic violence, yes, but it's more about empowerment. How can I empower you to be the person God placed you here on this earth to be? When I have my prayers on a daily basis, of course, I always say, order my steps in your word, Lord. So you'll find that one show is not the same as the last one because I am listening to the Holy Spirit and he's talking with me about what to say and how to say it and what he wants me to bring to the table, because you don't know who's going to hear this show 10 years from now. So it's important that we go into our, we bring that information that the Lord gives us. And you'll find that you'll never hear me on a show. I will not talk about my relationship with God. Won't happen. I want to play this song real quick, and then we'll get into the show. I want you to hear this. I think this is it. Hold on.
When I'm walking down the street, people are looking at me. What they see is a masterpiece created by the King. I am different by design, and I am fearfully and wonderfully me. I may not look like you and you me, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Better be you, better be me, and better be different and unique. I'm gonna be the best me.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone has a story, and domestic abuse, violence, intimate partner violence, it cannot be the same because we're different. So before we go any further, Ms. Linnell, would you kindly tell your story?
I will, yes. And first, I'd like to thank you for inviting me on the show and being able to tell my story and definitely empower, because that is the platform and why we're here. But, yes, my name is Linnell. I was raised in the Midwest, and my first experiences with domestic violence were watching my mother numerous times with my stepfather. Relationships started out beautifully. I think that's something that a lot of us encounter, but then at some point went sour for, you know, whatever reason. And around this time, I was roughly about 8-9 years old. And it's really ironic because my mother worked for a domestic violence shelter. And so I don't know the reasons, you know, why she stayed in the circumstance, being that she did have some power and knowledge at her fingertips. But needless to say, one night while she was working, that abuse trickled down to my younger sister. And at the time, she was 6 years old. And so I just remember waking up one evening and, you know, realizing the light was on in our bedroom, but I was pressed up against the wall, like facing the wall, as if someone literally must have pushed me up and maybe placed me that I was facing the wall that was close to one side of our bed. And I could hear the things.
And how old were you?
I was 9 years old, and my sister at the time was six.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I could hear something going on, but of course I'm waking up, I'm kind of drowsy, I'm not quite sure what's happening. And as I attempt to roll over and find out what that is, I was pushed very hard back up against the wall, as if, like, you know, a signal not to turn around, do not turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course that jolted me, and now I'm trying to turn around again, obviously, and I get that same shove. So on that third attempt, I don't know, I guess, if my memory has blocked out what's happened, or if something violent happened to me at that moment that put me out. But on that third attempt to roll over, I literally don't remember anything after that. I do remember then waking. Now the sunlight is shining into our bedroom, and I hear sounds, but it's a different sound. It's my mother sobbing. And so I roll over this time, and my mother is sitting on the floor cradling my sister and just rocking back and forth. And she's crying out from her soul. it's something that'll always be ingrained in my mind and in my memory. And when I sat up, I could see that there was vomit in various places around the room. My sister had been battered, and at that time we were waiting. The ambulance was en route. And then at that point she was taken to the hospital, and different things, tests ran to see, you know, what the damages were and that sort of thing. And so from there, my mother did take a few courses of action on her own. She actually, we waited in the home one night, and I didn't want to let her go by herself. I mean, she removed us from the home, I'm sorry. And then we came back on another night, and this gentleman had collected railroad ties. He worked for the railroad system, and there's these huge chain links that hold the cars together. So he had collected these things, I guess, that he picked up along his journey, and there was a collage, if you will, on the wall that he had assembled for, you know, like a decor. And my mother, the wall, and just slammed it across his face. And so I didn't want her to go alone that night, you know, for obvious reasons, that trying to protect her and that sort of thing. And I don't know if she knew that she was going to do that, but it made for a big mess. And then, of course, she got in trouble, you know, but was able to get out due to the circumstances that had happened prior. And, you know, I guess that's where some of those things, like I said, my first experiences would start. Later on, as I grew up, you know, we all have those family friends, those uncles that, you know, that are family friends or that sort of thing. They would make little comments, you know, as I was budding into a young lady growing up into my preteen years, I'm developing now, you know, and you'd get those little comments that made you feel uncomfortable, or the little brush up against scenarios that, you know, just made you want to withdraw. But that later on trickled into my teen years, in which around the age of 17 years old, I ultimately became pregnant by a man who was 10 years older than myself. And that's where my actual physical abuse at the hands of him would, you know, would start in that time. So we had gotten married beforehand, and it's always, again, one of those things of where the relationship starts out beautifully. They pretty much kind of give you their representative, if you will, and you come to find out later, you know, some months or maybe year in, who you're really living with. So that's when.
Well, let
you
me
know,
get,
and
let me get some stats. Let me get some stats real quick, and then we'll get back to your story, because there's several things you said in the story that we need to bring light to. First of all, one in four women and one in seven men will experience severe physical violence, intimate partner in their lifetime. And that's from the CDC. And that's 2017. That's scary.
Yes, very much so.
16% of women and 8% of men will experience sexual violence other than rape by an intimate partner. CDC again. These numbers are staggering.
They are, very much so.
And I want to say one other thing that two people said to me in the past several months. In our community, and in most communities of families, we say, okay, what happens in the house stays in the house. What happens at home stays at home. No longer is that true. If we don't open our mouths and stand up and stop being silent because of what somebody might say, then we are guilty for perpetuating this epidemic. And this is nothing but an epidemic. Ms. Linnell, I know that you are the marketing director for a nonprofit. Can we talk a little bit about that? And you give the contact information for your nonprofit, the one that you work with?
Yes, I can. Obviously, I wear many hats, but I have had the privilege of joining the board of directors as a marketing rep for We Are Survivors Foundation. It is based here out of Dallas, Texas. And our contact information, if you'd like to go to our website, is www.wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. And we are crusaders for domestic violence. We spend a lot of time, you know, out and about in not only Dallas but other cities. The president of my foundation is Wanda McKinley. She has traveled abroad as well to spread the word and the message and to empower others, you know, regarding this issue. But it's a real, it was a blessing. It's a blessing indeed to be a part of that organization. And it's pulled out a lot in me, you know, because I it's given me the platform to speak. And so I don't think, you know, there's been things, I guess, that I thought maybe I had dealt with. But because it's so in my face now, I'm even finding out right now that there are some, you know, lingering issues that you think you have put to rest because you're, you know, you're doing much better. You've gotten out of the situation. But it totally exposes me and makes me transparent on many levels. And there are a number of things I'm still working on, and I'm just honored for that, that true healing. You know, sometimes we think we're healed, but that true healing is still, you know, manifesting itself within me.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for this because, again, if we don't talk about this and talk about the empowerment, the empowering aspects of saying this happened to me, that empowerment allows other people who've gone through the same thing that you've gone through in a different way, because you're a different person, a different environment. You just never know what the empowerment does today, tomorrow, and so forth and so on. Again, this show is archived online indefinitely. You can go on and listen to all these stories. And this is just the beginning of women coming to our podcast and telling their story. This will be every single day that I have the time to go online. Anyone that wants to come to me and tell their story, I am open. Call me. 682-352-3014. Again, 682-352-3014 is my direct line. And I will always find the time to talk with you, always. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. We're back. Just a quick break. You have an event coming up, do you not?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do. And I'm super excited about that event.
Yes.
It is a fundraiser. Yes, it's a benefit concert and fundraiser. And it is raising funds for We Are Survivors' first annual mother and daughter retreat for 2019. And I'm super, super excited about that. The goal is to put together the retreat for mothers and daughters who have gone through domestic violence situations and to just help them strengthen the bonds that may have been, you know, broken or compromised due to whatever the scenario may be. Because a lot of times, you know, the children are watching and, you know, maybe have questions if they haven't been accosted themselves in that circumstance. So to have the opportunity to help them replenish and renew, strengthen, and just continue to thrive and overcome their situation is what that retreat is all about. So we have a wonderful lineup of speakers that will come on and share their testimony as to what We Are Survivors means to them, what being a survivor overall means to them. We have an international recording artist by the name of Stuart Marshall, who is graciously going to perform with his band. There'll be, we've got probably, I think, 4 or 5 caterers at this point. I'm still putting it together because I'm also an event planner. So, like I said, those mini hats serve us well when we're trying to get things done. But, you know, there'll be food, entertainment, fellowship, of course, and we just really hope that others will see that vision and pour into us that we can continue working with the community and making that difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't want to leave out a segment of our society that most of us don't talk about. I know I don't think about it a lot, but these are the stats from the CDC again. 2 in 5 lesbian women and 3 in 5 bisexual women and 1 in 3 heterosexual women will experience rape and violence and or stalking by an intimate partner. Gay men, 1 in 3 bisexual men, 1 in 10 heterosexual men will experience rape, abuse, and stalking by an intimate partner. Interesting numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting
mm-hmm.
numbers. To get back with your story. I want to move on for a second because.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about how that has changed and empowered you to be the person you are now.
The change in empowerment, at the time, again, like I said, when I had been with this gentleman who's significant years older than myself, we had a child together. And there just became a point of where I had heard the term generational curse, and I just refused. I refused. I feel like that is something that is an ideal. I know that there's a lot of situations, obviously, that kind of manifest from growing up and seeing certain things in the home as a child and maybe adopting those things, but I just refuse to accept that. I feel like God is an all-powerful God, and curses, we're breaking them every day. And so I just totally refuse to accept that for myself, that it would be passed down to my daughter, who is lovely and thriving, or my son. Later on, I would have a son, you know, as I moved on in my life. But that is what empowered me initially to say, you know what, some change has to take place in right now. So I left that. I left that relationship. It was very hard as a young mother, you know, and I just continued to move forward. I was blessed with another relationship that lasted for 15 years and showed me what true love could be like, but I was still so broken and not healed that I literally walked away from that relationship with no explanation. And a couple of stumbles after that, I'm still finding that I'm attracting the same negative vibes, if you will. So I just dove into the Word. Like, I just had to. At one point, I just had to cry out to God and ask Him, Father, please just change this. I need You to touch my life. I felt like I had a higher calling, and I needed to know what my direction was. And I ran across the scripture. As much as I studied, I couldn't recite a scripture or just lock it in the way I wanted to, which frustrated me so badly. But when I came across Psalm 69:1, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." And it broke me down to my knees. I knew that this scripture was for me, that it placed itself on my heart. So at that point, it was full speed ahead then. You know, I was like, I'm going to make a difference in my life. I started planning, and a difference for others. I started planning my own conferences and drive to do different things for the community, whether it be working for the homeless, working for young girls, pouring into different segments of need, because I'm a servant first and foremost. I know that about myself. I've been blessed with unconditional love. So at some point, I have even forgiven my abusers. There's been more than one, even outside of that relationship. But that's what empowered me to go on. You have to keep moving. So I just want to let other people know the best thing for you to do is, you know, leave. Just leave that situation. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you're going to go through some bumps in the road. You might not know where you're going to go. But that's what I had to do that day, pack my baby up, make a few calls with the little money I had since he was controlling my entire life, and I had to just go. So God will make a way for you. He will truly make a way for you.
Well, you know, it's so interesting you should say that, because if we talk about the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we have, he's given us. And Jeremiah talks about that very clearly. He said, the scripture says he knew us before we were even thought about being born. And that means he knew where you were going to be.
Yes.
And he empowered you with all the talents that you needed to live through this time in your life. And everyone has something that he's given them. And usually it's more than one thing. To move from where you are to where you need to be, where he sees you. And that is empowerment.
Yes, ma'am.
That's empowerment, and it's empowering for me. So think about what you can do today to empower someone. It could be a happy Saturday or happy Sunday tomorrow, because you never know where they are and where they're coming from and where they've been.
I'd like to add one other thing, if I may.
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
Just briefly. I also want to encourage the ladies. One thing that I know that I had also done was rushed relationships. Take your time. It's okay to wait. It's okay to be alone. It really, really is. But take your time. You know, in the end, when I was going through, you know, a lot of that healing, God brought me the man who was for me. But I took my time. I waited on the appropriate signs, and I waited. And he'll show you. He will totally show you that. So don't be afraid. I think we get codependent even in those domestic violence situations.
Yeah.
You know, there's a morbid thought that we need this person around because they're providing something. I mean, you're staying for a reason, even though they're unruly and they're doing different things to hurt you. So you're still staying for a reason. And somehow we've twisted that into the thought that it's true love, but it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to wait for who God has for you.
And I could not agree more. In closing, let me talk about an event that we have coming up next Saturday at my studios at 12805 Harmon Road, JMA and Associates Media Productions. We'll have a We Can Do It Domestic Violence Awareness Conference of Summit. And we're looking for you to come and support and be a part of this summit and hear these stories. They're powerful. Our keynote speaker is Shondell Wilhite. Miss Wanda McKinley will be on board, and I think Miss Lavelle will be there. Linnell will be there. So
yes,
we have an amazing time coming, and moving into 2019 is just a time of awareness going forward and support for all who are involved in our organization, as well as our conferences. So you can reach me at 682-352-3014. Again, 682-352-3014. I want to thank Ms. Linnell for sharing. And when's your book coming out?
I'm working on the wrap-up at this time, so I'm looking at spring of 2019. So please stay tuned for that. And I'm hoping again and praying over it that it reaches many. It reaches many.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of our Awareness Podcast. Audience, thank you. And Lord, thank you for getting us through this morning. Take care and goodbye for now.